Have you ever, looked at a totally normal email, maybe from a coworker or a service you use all the time, and just had this nagging feeling like, could this actually be a trap?
It's a pretty scary thought, right? Especially when there are none of the usual red flags. No weird links, no obvious typos. What if the danger isn't like waving a big red flag, but it's actually hiding inside the tools you trust, the ones meant to help you work together? That's exactly what we're going to try and unpack today. Welcome to the deep dive. We're looking into something security folks are calling native phishing.
Yeah, and our mission here for you listening is really to cut through the hype. We want to show you exactly how attackers are now exploiting, well, human trust inside perfectly legitimate applications. We'll look at which platforms are surprisingly vulnerable, how these campaigns actually work, they're incredibly deceptive, and most importantly, how you can spot them and, defend yourself. And everything we're talking about, it comes straight from the research, the articles, the note that you shared with us for this deep dive. It really does feel like the game has changed with cyber deception. For years, right, we were told, look for the suspicious attachments, the emails with terrible grammar from some prince.
Yeah.
We sort of built up this internal spam filter. But this new thing, native phishing, it feels, well, sneakier because it plays on our trust.
Yeah, what's really fascinating, I think, is how native phishing is this fundamental shift in the playbook, you
Yeah.
know? Instead of attackers focusing on, say, technical exploits or trying to break through firewalls, they've shifted. They're focusing on exploiting human trust. They use the built-in features of apps you already use, apps you trust every single day. Think of it less like kicking down a door, more like getting invited in through the front door.
Right, using a legitimate key.
Exactly. And that makes these attacks devastatingly effective because they operate entirely within what looks like normal business processes. It's proper social engineering.
And if you thought you knew the usual suspects, the usual weak spots, well, here's where it gets really interesting. One of the most surprising and honestly often overlooked attack vectors now is Microsoft OneNote. Yeah, that OneNote, the digital notebook, where you jot down meeting notes or shopping lists. Who knew it could be like a supervillain's secret weapon?
It's true, yeah. OneNote has become this unexpected favorite for cybercriminals, and the reasons why are quite, well, telling. See, unlike Word or Excel, OneNote operates outside a lot of the standard security protocols. Crucially, its design lets it bypass the usual protected view safeguards.
Ah, protected view. That's the thing that opens dodgy-looking files in read-only mode, right?
Exactly. It stops malicious code running automatically in Word or Excel. OneNote just sidesteps that whole inspection layer.
Wow.
Plus, its formatting is super flexible, so attackers can create really convincing layouts, make it look like a real business document. And naturally, it supports embedding links in files. That's how they deliver the payload.
Okay, but surely security teams know about this.
Well, here's the kicker. Many security teams kind of overlook OneNote in their defense strategies. Why? Because it doesn't support VBA macros.
Which are the common threat in other Office apps?
Precisely. So no macros must be safe, right? That thinking creates this huge blind spot.
That is a terrifying blind spot. If it bypasses protected view and doesn't use macros, why hasn't this blown up sooner? Is there a reason this specific vulnerability has sort of flown under the radar?
That's a really good question, and I think it speaks to how fast we adopt new collaboration tools. OneNote was probably seen as, less risky compared to Word or Excel precisely because it didn't have macros. And that perception, well, it created a false sense of security. It let attackers quietly hone their techniques while the security world was maybe focused elsewhere on more traditional threats.
So innovation outpacing defense again.
It's a classic pattern, yeah, at least
Yeah.
initially.
Okay, so we've got the weapon identified, OneNote. But how does the attack actually play out, step by step? How do they draw you in? Starting from what looks like just another normal workday thing, walk us through it.
Right. It often starts pretty subtly, maybe with an initial breach, like a standard phishing email gets one user's credentials.
Okay, the foothold.
Exactly, just the foothold. Now, once they're inside the Microsoft 365 environment, that's when they get clever. They create these malicious OneNote files. But here's the key part. They create them inside that compromised user's personal OneDrive storage.
Ah, so it's coming from within the system.
Precisely. And these files have embedded links, obviously, pointing to credential harvesting sites, fake login pages. But connecting this to the bigger picture, the really brilliant or maybe insidious part, is how they share it. They use Microsoft's legitimate sharing features.
Oh, so they don't have to fake an email address or anything.
No need. Using the real sharing function generates an authentic, someone shared a file with you, email notification from Microsoft. It looks like it's from your colleague. It is technically sent by Microsoft Systems, so it passes all the usual authentication checks. SPF, DKRM, DRC, all green lights.
Making it incredibly hard for standard email filters to catch.
Almost impossible for many traditional tools. It looks perfectly normal to the naked eye and often to the technology too.
Okay, so the lines between real and fake are just completely blurred now. And it's not just the legitimate sharing, is it? I read that the way websites can be built now has changed things too, like these AI-powered no-code platforms, making it easier to create fake pages, stuff like Flasio, ClickFunnels, JotForm.
Absolutely, that's another huge factor. These platforms give cybercriminals some serious advantages. Many have free trials, right? So zero cost to set up shop.
No investment needed.
None. And the AI design tools, they can whip up incredibly professional-looking pages, pages that mimic legitimate login portals almost perfectly. We call it high visual fidelity.
Meaning it looks identical.
Almost identical, yeah. It makes it really tough, even for people who know about phishing, to spot the fake. And they're fast. Attackers can launch campaigns in hours, put up a site, take it down quickly, move on, evade detection.
It's fascinating and kind of scary how easy these powerful tools are to access.
Uh-huh.
But it makes you think. Could these AI platforms be used for good, too? Like, could you use them to create really realistic phishing simulations for employee training? Or is that just too risky?
That's a really nuanced point. Technically, yes. You could use these tools for hyper-realistic training. The difficulty, though, is ethics and the potential for misuse.
Right, if it's that easy.
Exactly. The very ease that attracts criminals means they could be misused even in a training context without strict controls. So while the capability is there, the risks, they often seem to outweigh the benefits for training, especially when there are other, less risky ways to simulate threats. The focus usually stays on defense.
Okay, defense it is.
Hmm.
So we've dissected this new threat. We've seen the tools they're using. But for those of us listening, you know, on the front lines every day, how do we actually arm ourselves? What are the practical things to look for? How do you spot these super elusive threats?
Okay, the single best defense for individuals, it's not really an app. It's a mindset shift. You need to treat every unexpected share as potentially suspicious, even if it looks like it's from your boss.
Because that legitimacy is the disguise.
Exactly. That's the attacker's best weapon. So practically, scrutinize any unexpected file share notification, especially if it demands urgent action or asks you to verify credentials right away.
Mm-hmm.
Look closely at login pages. Are there tiny variations? Is the URL structure a bit weird? Any small design flaws?
Give us stuff.
Very subtle sometimes. And be super cautious of urgent requests that seem to bypass normal procedures, even if they look like they're from someone you trust. Always try to verify through a different channel, like a quick phone call or a text, not by replying to the suspicious email or message itself.
Out-of-band verification.
Cut.
Got it. And for the security teams listening, what should they be watching?
For security teams, it's really about looking for anomalies, unusual patterns. Are you seeing sudden spikes in file sharing from certain accounts? That could be a sign. Are users on your network suddenly accessing these no-code website builders when they normally wouldn't? Or are you seeing traffic going to unfamiliar domains, especially newly registered ones? Those could be hosting the phishing sites. It's about pattern recognition.
This all sounds like it points towards needing, well, what people call organizational resilience, using layers of defense. Less like building one big wall, maybe more like developing a company-wide immune system?
Precisely. That's a great analogy. The real strength isn't just tech layers. It's about weaving security into the culture, making every employee a kind of human sensor.
Okay, so how do organizations build that?
Well, you need robust identity management. That means multi-factor authentication, MFA, for everyone. Conditional access policies, too. Security awareness training has to evolve. It can't just be about spotting dodgy emails anymore. You need practical simulations involving these trusted apps like OneNote and internal file sharing scenarios.
So the training needs to reflect these native phishing techniques.
Absolutely. Test people with realistic scenarios, see how they respond, identify where the blind spots are. And then on the tech side, granular monitoring of file sharing. You need baselines of normal activity so you can spot deviations and get alerts.
Yeah.
Network monitoring too, including DNS filtering to block connections to newly registered, potentially malicious domains. It's this continuous loop, detect, educate, adapt.
It really feels like, despite all the amazing tech, the human element is still absolutely key in cybersecurity. You framed it earlier as both the biggest vulnerability potentially, but also the strongest defense. How do we really maximize that human strength?
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. Effective awareness programs need those practical simulated scenarios. They have to cover not just spotting the threat, but also what to do next. Proper reporting procedures, incident response drills. It's about building that muscle memory.
And leadership buy-in, I imagine.
Oh, critically important. When leaders participate, when they prioritize security, it sends a powerful message. It makes it part of the culture, not just an IT problem. Which brings up an important question. How does technology really plug into this? How does it enhance the human effort, not just, you know, add another tool to the pile?
Right. We need what you could call a unified ecosystem of tech. Tools working together. Email security gateways need to keep evolving, using behavioral analysis, machine learning to spot these subtle trust-based attacks. Then there's UEBA, user and entity behavior analytics. That helps detect weird user patterns that might signal a compromised account, stuff a human might miss.
Finding deviations from normal. Exactly. And security orchestration platforms, SOR, can automate parts of the incident response. Linking tools together, that speeds things up dramatically, reduces the time from detection to actually containing the threat. The goal is really comprehensive visibility and faster, smarter responses. The tech should support and amplify human vigilance, not try to replace it.
Wow. What an illuminating deep dive. We've really seen how these threats have shifted, haven't we? Moving away from the obvious stuff to exploiting the trust we place in everyday tools. Like OneNote, who knew?
Mm.
And it seems crystal clear that defending against this needs that blend. Human awareness, sharp eyes, coupled with smart, integrated technology.
Absolutely. And maybe as we wrap up, here's something to think about. Consider how quickly we all adopt new technologies, new platforms for convenience, for collaboration, and how sometimes that rapid adoption, well, it can outpace our security thinking, our frameworks. It creates new frontiers, new opportunities for attackers.
Mm.
So the question for you is, what new tools, what platforms that we're starting to rely on now might be the next blind spot that we're currently overlooking?
Well, that's a fascinating and, yeah, slightly unsettling thought to end on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep asking those questions. Keep learning. And stay curious.